Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, and there you go, and good morning all, and welcome into another Fred Out Sports' Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Fred House might come into you here from the Fred House Sports Garage, and momentarily here I will be joined in by our couple of other mechanics, and we're going to sit around here for the next 90 minutes or so. We'll chit-chat NASCAR. Big day today here in NASCAR. Big day last week as well, and I got to be honest, whoever we spend the most time talking about today, well, more than likely, they're going to be the one winning, because it occurred to me last night as I'm putting things together for today, it was 2 weeks ago, we were sitting here and saying, well, geez, it seems that Jimmy Johnson's got the most pressure on him. Jimmy Johnson's really got to do something in this segment. Otherwise, he might be looking his way out of the chase. Jimmy Johnson went out and won that race there at Charlotte. And so last week, we're sitting here and we're saying, well, look at where Kevin Harvick is. He sits there at 12th. Holy smokes, if there's anybody that's got any pressure on him with just two races remaining in this segment, it's got to be Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick, all he did was just go and win Kansas. And so now it would seem to me today, perhaps maybe the person we might be putting our eyes on would be Brad Keselowski. Yeah, see, because Brad's below the cut line, along with, well, people like Denny Hamlin. Certainly he could, I suppose, sneak up there. But Brad Keselowski, it seems to me, is the biggest of the four names right now that are below the line. If we spend a lot of time talking about Brad Keselowski today, more than likely, the way the trend is, he's going to win the race and make it into the next segment of the chase. Today is a big race, and it's Talladega. Of all the places to have a cut race, well, at least this year it will be. Not so much next year. I want to get the guy's opinion on that one. I can't wait to get their opinion on that. Next year, Talladega will not be here. It will be flipping places with Kansas. Kansas will be the cut race next year. Talladega will be last week. Somebody trying to dumb down the chase here, perhaps? I don't know. I kind of like it the way it is. We'll find out what the other guy's saying. We'll get into all of that. We're going to take a look at last week's race at Kansas. We're going to take a look at this big one here coming up at Talladega. We're going to take a look at the leaderboard standings right now as they stand. We'll talk about all the guys that are below the cut line. Talk about a lot about Brad Keselowski. And, hey, there might even be a Dale Jr. sighting today, as I understand we might hear the dulcet twang of one Dale Jr. in the NBC broadcast booth. Yeah, apparently for today and next week, you got Dale Jr. as a guest analyst. We'll get into our fantasy chase, and we'll also take a look at our Eat My Dust picks as well in one of the last few remaining Race Trim Motorsports Hour programs of this season. If you want to jump in with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get us here in the studio. Glad to report things seem to be working today. So if you want to call, you shouldn't have too much trouble. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here. Otherwise, I believe, hopefully, I've got Brandon over there, man, in the chat room. And I'll be checking my Twitter notifications constantly if you want to hit me up that way, at Frat House Mike. Let's get the mechanics in here. I think I've got both Sidekick and Brandon. Got both you guys in the garage. Only a couple of these left now, guys. You know, only a couple more Sunday mornings we're going to be getting together like this until, I guess, what, February or so?
Yep, I'll be able to sleep in.
Like 11 o'clock, really?
Hey, I
really
just got
sleeping.
I just got up 45 minutes ago.
Wow.
Well, I was out late. I went to...
I knew that was coming. I had a feeling that was coming.
Well, I went out to experience for the first time the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
The first time? You've never done that before?
Never done it.
Oh, now,
and?
Did they prep?
The last time I ever do it.
Really? Did they prep you? Did everybody, whoever you went with, did they prep you for everything you had to have ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. Did you come in with your toast?
Well, they sold prop bags because it was at the Colonial Theater there in Phoenixville.
Oh, in Phoenixville, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of a, you know, they're trying to restore it. So they didn't want you bringing in. Yeah. So they didn't want you bringing all the stuff. So they had special prop bags with stuff made up that was theater friendly.
Listeners who do not know, the Colonial Theater there in Phoenixville was the site of the 1950s horror film, The Blob. Yes, if everybody remembers the scene where everybody was running from the movie theater, that was the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. So, neat little tidbit about the history of that particular place.
Yep.
So
I think it's every July they recreate that. They have Blobfest and they have everybody run out of the theater. So it's kind of, you know. It was a late night. I didn't get to bed until about 4:30.
You did 4:30 in the morning? It left that much of an impact on you?
Yeah.
You just couldn't get to sleep after all of that.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy it. Yeah,
Something about Tim Curry. He nailed that part, but man, that's one creepy dude.
Listen, I loved Meatloaf's cameo in that. That's what I liked.
Oh yeah, Meatloaf. Yep, he was in it.
I've never seen it either.
Are you serious? Wow.
Nope. I've never done it either, and I don't really care to. It just looks not like something I would be into doing.
It really is goofy.
I think it would have been – see, now I drove, so I had to remain sober. But I think it would have been more fun had I had a couple in me.
Probably.
You know,
you're right.
It's always – almost always done late at night, usually around midnight kind of thing, So, I was a little tired, full day, sober, so, had to drive people home. Yeah.
That's interesting. So, you did not enjoy it. I will be honest with you. I did it once, maybe twice. I got to tell you, when I did it, I'm talking 35 years ago. It was back in like early 80s when I did it. And not a thing has changed. I mean, all the silly, goofy audience participation stuff is exactly the same. I can't say that I was kind of like, what in the world is this all about? I was not prepared. I was not prepared like you were. I actually went in thinking I was going to go see a movie. And people are yelling through the movie. I'm going, will you shut the hell up? I want to hear what's going on.
Well, now, did they have the show with it? Or was it just the movie and everybody was just doing the props and the...
Yeah, that's the way I remember it. It was just the movie. What did they do something extra now?
Yeah, they actually do a stage show with it. So as you're watching the movie, they've got people on the stage acting it out as well. And
seriously,
and that's what kind of, you know, trying to get over, you know, watching the film, watching the stage show. You had all these people that were chanting all through the movie and different things. Half the time you couldn't make out what they were saying. You know what I mean? So it was kind of, you know, it was for the first time, it was almost like a, you know, stimulus overload kind of thing, where I would have liked to have been able to, you know, kind of understand it and, you know, really get into one piece of it. But, you know, like I said, you know, you had, you know, you had actors on a stage acting it out while the movie was going, and then they're running around and running through the crowd and they're laying in people's laps. And, you know, they had this dude that was, I swear, was like 7'2" that played Frank.
Wow.
So, but yeah. No, and it was great because they improvise. And so they come out, a couple of the characters come out with these like fat head. One was Hillary, one was Donald Trump, the other one was Bernie Sanders. The guy in the wheelchair, the doctor in the wheelchair, came out with a big Bernie Sanders thing. So Jen's got video of him, you know, rolling his wheelchair back and forth across the stage with this big Bernie Sanders face. That was hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. What? Dear God. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Yeah, of course, I leaned over and I nodded and I'm like, so where's Johnson?
Yeah, really, really. Very good. Touche. Touche. Well, all right. So we'll
welcome this morning to Fred House.
Yeah.
Movie
review.
And politics review.
Yep. Yep.
Hosted
exactly.
by Sidekick and co hosted by Fred House, Mike, and Brandon. completely take another show off the rails.
If anybody would like to call in their Rocky Horror Picture Show horror stories, 347-826-9964. We will take those calls as well. And we'll intersperse those with conversations about Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski should be Frankenfurter.
I was just about to say that. I can't believe you did that. I was right there. I was right there with you.
He kind of looks a little bit like Tim Curry, right?
Yes, exactly.
Put some heels.
I can't believe it. That's exactly what
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Now we can waste another 10 minutes because now we can take NASCAR drivers and put them
into the.
Because obviously Danica could be Janet.
Listen, Jimmy Johnson is in there for sure. Jimmy Johnson is in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, he could be Brad.
He could be.
Yeah, he could be an asshole.
Yep. Yep. Oh.
He could be Johnson. Could be Brad. Dana could be Janet.
Brad.
Tony could be Rocky. You know, the really buff guy in the gold shorts. He could be Rocky with his soda cookies.
Oh, that is perfect. Oh, my gosh. The Brad Keselowski one is absolutely perfect, though. Oh man. Okay. Well,
crying over here.
Yeah. But since Brad is completely out of the loop, we'll try to get this back around.
It's like, he's throwing his hands.
Yeah, really. We'll try to get this back around to where it belongs.
Let me go check on my fantasy football team.
I think I might actually have to pull this segment and rerun it next week on Frat House Saturday. Because let's see, by Saturday we'll be coming close to Halloween, so I'll have to do that, baby.
That'll be a hoot.
All right. Anyhow, I started out the program, guys, by talking about, you know, it was 2 weeks ago. Brandon and I are sitting here and we're talking about, you know, who's most likely to get cut from the chase. And I had indicated, and a couple of other people had indicated that, you know, listen, Jimmy Johnson seems like a likely candidate, huh? Jimmy Johnson wins, you know, at Charlotte. And then last week we're sitting here and we're talking about Kevin Harvick, and Kevin Harvick's all the way down at the bottom in 12th place. And what does Kevin Harvick do? Kevin Harvick wins. So I guess it would seem to me, who picked Harvick? Brandon, you picked Harvick, so it didn't come as a surprise to you, right?
Nope. I knew he was. I had a feeling. I have a feeling about today, too, and one of the guys I have a feeling about is below the cut line. No.
Is it Brad Keselowski?
It's actually Austin Dillon. No, it's actually Austin Dillon.
Really?
Austin Dillon's been on a bit of a roll lately, and Richard Childress Racing, going all the way back to Dale Earnhardt Sr., has always been one of the best teams at restricted track racing. So if anybody who's below that cut line, you know, yeah, you're right. Keselowski's below the cut line too, but you know, he doesn't need to win to get in. Neither does Dillon for that matter, but right. you know, well, maybe he does. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell. I think Hamlin's done. Somehow I see the other three making it up if it's possible.
Interesting. And now I'm looking at, you know, Chase Elliott would absolutely positively have to have a win. He's 62 points out of first place.
Wow.
And he is, let's see, I'm trying to do the quick math here. He's 25 points off the cut line. And really probably more appropriately, 28 points. You don't have to say 28 points off the cut line, because what's odd here is that Joey Logano and Austin Dillon actually are tied in points, but Dillon's below the cut line simply because of the fact that Logano's got a win. So Logano's got that advantage for being right on the bubble. Chase Elliott would probably absolutely have to get a win. Brad Keselowski right now is 44 points behind the leader.
He needs a win.
But he's 10 points behind. He's 10 points behind the cut line.
He's only
10 points behind the cut line. Hamlin's 9 points behind the cut line. And like I said, Austin Dillon would have to have a good race. Joey Logano would have to have a bad race. Or Austin Dillon gets a win and he's in. So there's
the scenario. You could have a guy like Kenseth, Kurt Busch, Carl Edwards, any of them have a bad day, they go back too. They're by no means locked in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the points and trying to.
Yeah, because you know this is Talladega. This is the great American.
You're the big one away from four of these chase guys.
Well, yeah.
On the outside looking in.
And, you know, if we go back to the May race, Keselowski won.
Yep.
Austin finished third, and Chase Elliott finished fifth. Now, obviously, you know, it is Talladega, and, you know, literally anything can happen. So, you know, it's not like other tracks where you say, okay, well, you know, they ran up front earlier in the season. Chances are they'll probably run good again. You know, they may run well, but then, you know, like we saw at the 500, you know, Chase Elliott was running great and he wound up wrecking out.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, this is a crapshoot. I'm just looking at this. At the same time, Keselowski has won here more than any other driver right now that's running. Keselowski's got 4 wins.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson's got 2. McMurray and Boyer got 2. That's it. Now, I'm talking about that's with more than one win. Okay, so I'm talking about multiple winners, multiple time winners. I mean, there might be others that have 1 win or, you know, so. But, you know, while it's Talladega, there does seem to be a good history here for Brad Keselowski.
Oh, sure. Especially in cutoff races.
See, what I'm trying to do is just bring up Keselowski's name enough that he's going to win today. And keep our streak intact here. Not
Let me
I
guess. He's your eat my dust.
No, he's not. He's not even on my fantasy team. Although I got to be honest, I did consider it. I did consider putting him on my fantasy team. I actually considered taking Kyle Busch off to put Brad Keselowski, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But I know.
That sounds like the move of a desperate man trying to stay relevant in the chase.
Listen, if I'm not mistaken, I believe I'm below the line. I'm below the cut line, I think. I'd have to check that. Either that or I'm right on the line. Either way, it's very close.
I think I got one foot in and one foot out.
Do you? Yeah, okay.
The funny thing is, I think the show one is the one that's out.
I think you're right. For the moment, I believe that's correct. In fact, hold.
I'm actually pulling it up right now.
I was just trying to find.
You're like right. Oh no, I got both teams in.
Why can't I find?
The show team is number 8. Going into today's race. So Mike is 9, 6.5 points behind.
Oh, see that? Okay.
So
yeah, see, so I gotta have a good.
Where
race.
Am I?
Gonna,
how far in? How far in am I?
You're good, I think. I think you're in good shape.
I think so.
Yeah, you're 5th. I'm 6th and 8th. So, and then we've only got one person locked in to advance right now.
Yep.
And that's Daytona Cementheads, Mike Sanders.
Yep. So yeah. Right. Okay. So I got to have a good race. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not terribly
confident. We all got to have a good race.
I'm not terribly confident. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know. I could still make some changes, I suppose, but I'm not inclined to do so. Anyhow.
I'm still trying to sort mine out.
Where was I going to go here?
Well, you were wishing Brad Keselowski and the Fords all the best to win today's race.
Yeah, can you imagine me doing that?
Which is very uncharacteristic.
Yeah, I don't. I know.
Hate well, them.
I just.
I mean,
I
I'm not quite sure which is worse: my hatred for LA or your hatred for Penske.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I really do. I really do not like Penske at all. I don't know. I'm telling you, I just got a gut feeling about Keselowski today. But anyhow,
let's go back to the past two races. You were talking about Jimmy Johnson and how Jimmy Johnson needed to get a win. He got a win. Kevin Harvick needed to get a win. Got the win. This is what champions do, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is, you know, When they need a race and they need to come up big, they do. You know what I mean? Johnson needed that win.
Interestingly, though, Psychic, as we've all just talked about, this is Talladega. Very, very difficult to take on that kind of philosophy here, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely, and that's why Kevin Harvick last weekend.
You could be all the champion you want. You can walk into this thing with that kind of mindset, that kind of temperament, but it could be completely irrelevant. You could have, I mean, for gosh sakes, you know, you could have, as Brandon just pointed out, an Austin Dillon win today, but win without that mentality.
Mm-hmm. You could have a Chris Buescher win. Talladega.
Exactly. He's starting.
You get a big enough big one, and depending on where it falls in, you know, you could have all those guys in the it could happen up at the front. You could have Brad Keselowski, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth all bumping door panels, and then one of them gets squirrely at the front of the pack, and you know, causes everybody to wreck up into the big one. Now all them guys that were sitting there in the back, the guys that are typically your 20th to, you know, or lower place finishing, they're now leading the race because everybody else is wrecked out.
Yep. course, one of the things I read consistently when we get to, you know, Talladega here, one of the things you read consistently is if you can maintain your upfront position, you know, obviously you've got the advantage. You know, stay up front as much as possible. And, you know, more than likely you're not going to get caught up in any messes. How many did we have back in the May? How many did we have in May? Do you have the numbers?
Big wrecks?
Yeah, do you have the numbers?
Well, it generally only takes one big one.
Yeah, I don't actually have the the race recap. I just had up the finishing order.
I can probably get it.
Well, I could. Okay. I mean, so there was. Let's see. So Junior was out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 people that were out due to accident. And it was like, yeah, Dale Jr., Casey Kane, Michael Annette, Chris Buescher, Carl Edwards, Eric Amarola, Paul Menard, Joey Logano, Danica Patrick, no surprise, Matt Kenseth. So, you know, there was probably one where it took out a good chunk of those guys. So there's probably one.
There's always going to be one that takes out a handful of cars. I don't think we've had a restrictor plate racing race lately where we haven't had something. So here's the kick. Here's the thing is to be at the right place at the right time and not get in it. You know, guys, the ones that I would be worried about would be your middle of the pack guys, because those are the ones that are going to be, you know, not necessarily right up front. You know what I mean? In other words, like you're, I don't know. See,
the middle pack don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah. And right. Carl Edwards, Matt Kenseth, you know, some of those guys in the middle of the chase there, you know, even a Kurt Busch or Truex is on the pole. So who knows, maybe he can stay up front, but traditionally those guys don't run up front. And you can take Harvick and Johnson off the board essentially, because it's irrelevant where they finish. So they'll probably do well.
Yeah.
They'll probably avoid all the wrecks.
And Johnson's strategy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Junior, I think kind of plays this strategy where they lay back for the
Johnson
first.
Johnson does. Junior likes to lead. He likes to be up front.
I've seen him sometimes in the back and sometimes because they'll play that game where they'll drop back and then they'll run up front for a while. They'll play, you know, see how long it takes them to get to the front, and then they'll drop back again.
I think he tried it with Johnson for a couple of races, and I don't think he really
liked it.
It didn't work out. Yeah, he likes to, if he has the car to lead, he wants to be up front and out of the mess that way.
Yeah,
you know, in the first couple now, whether or not, you know, it just depends on whether you have the car to do that. But that's generally the good way to do it, because the accident always happens right behind the leaders or the lead pack generally. So, you know, if you're in that first, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever car breakaway, and then, you know, generally the problems occur behind that. So, you know, that's kind of what they got to be looking for today.
Does Talladega level the playing field, even for, say, the experienced versus the lesser experienced drivers? For instance, in other words, I guess my question would be, you take a look at, you know, a Chase Elliott, who is in his rookie season. You know, does a Jimmy Johnson, does a Brad Keselowski have an advantage that Chase doesn't have?
Yeah, maybe. It depends. It depends on, you know, experience with the restrictor plate track. I mean, they do race restrictor plate racing in Xfinity.
In Xfinity, right.
It could. They're doing truck too. I mean, they have races at I think they race the trucks at both Talladega and Daytona, but I think they only go once. But yeah, it can help. Certainly, experience is a factor because it's a whole different kind of racing. You know what I mean? It's not the same kind of racing when you're at a restrictor plate track. You got to draft and know how to place your car to get the air in the right, you know, position off the car in front of you and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know what? And I know you guys are going to laugh at me and, you know, but you know, playing my racing video games and stuff. What drives me nuts about Daytona and Talladega, and I could imagine as a rookie, is it's just nerve-wracking. Like, you're sitting, you know, you're going 200, 208 miles an hour around a track, you know, literally like in rush hour traffic, except instead of being stop and go and that tight together, you're going 200 miles an hour.
Mm.
You know, and any little wiggle of the car, any little, you know, somebody nudging you or you nudging somebody, you know, people check up because somebody's slowing down or something like that. It just drives me crazy. And it might be the mild claustrophobia I have too, but you know, when you're, you know, the video games have gotten so almost, you know, realistic that it just drives me crazy. Like, I get all, like, stir-crazy, like, get me out of this pack. I can't wait to get up through and get towards the front.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
You know what I mean? I need to get away
there
from these people.
I've been there. We've all been there. You know, all you need is a little a little highway turnpike driving. Where,
yeah.
You know, up in, say, like, northern New Jersey, you know. Go drive that area as you're approaching New York, you know. And I've been there, you know. It's like, Jesus, God, let me just get in front of all this mess.
Yeah.
You know?
It's almost like driving those cattle chutes when they've got the construction.
Ah, yeah. Oh, please.
You know what I mean? You know,
you want to talk about unnerving. Do you remember, Sidekick, and I know you do, you got to remember back when they were doing the Schuylkill Expressway construction down there along by the river, and you're coming through those damn things down by the river, and it is narrow as, and I'm just thinking to myself, I know I'm just going to bounce off of one side or the other.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it's, you know, at that point you're just a pinball.
Yep.
You might as well do like the NASCAR drivers and throw your hands up while the wheel spins. you know what I mean? Cause you're at that point but that's what it feels like. Because you have to imagine, yes, you're on a track that's wider than that, but the way that you're running and to keep the aerodynamics and everything else, it's like you have to ride that cattle chute. You know, and you cannot, you know, there's no wiggle. You know what I mean? You're talking, you know, you're a matter of feet to inches.
Are you saying then that if you had been a race car driver, there would be certain tracks you would not be able to do?
I don't know how good I would be on a restrictor plate. Or on a super speedway. I think the other tracks I would be all right with. I think that the super speedways would probably be the ones that give me the problems. And Richmond for some reason gives me problems when I'm playing in the game. I haven't been able to master that track.
Hmm.
If anything, it's
how do you do it in Indianapolis?
Oh, I kill it in Indianapolis.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, Indy I kill. But Daytona and Talladega, yeah, I'm it's wreckers checkers for me at either one of those tracks. I'm either up front and I take off and I'm gone and, you know, sayonara, or I get stuck in the pack and that's done. Forget it.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, you're saying, you know, claustrophobia, with your claustrophobia that, you know, you would find some of the driving, tedious, a little bit difficult.
Yeah. If I were actually a pro driver and as my career went along, I'm sure it would probably get a little bit easier and a little bit better. You know what I mean? But you know, right now, kind of is that, you know, in that novice area / video gamer, it drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start shaking.
Interesting observation. Only because the only reason I bring it up is because, I mean, you know, of the two of us, you and I, anyhow, I can't speak for Brandon, and I'm not sure whether or not. But listen, I've driven enough with you that I've always kind of looked at you and thought, you know what? I could see you behind the wheel on a track. Me, myself, personally, not so much. You know,
give me two wheels and I'm good.
That's what I thought. I had a feeling that's where you were going to go, Brandon. You know, you're probably better with the two wheel. Right. You're better with the two wheel vehicle.
I do it by myself at this point because I don't trust my body anymore to do it in competition. Mm-hmm. That last wreck was pretty much did my shoulder in. So I think my days of competitiveness are over.
Yeah, see, you know, it's funny. You sit here and we talk about the different thing. You know, we could almost have one of these, like, you know, Penske or Hendrick kind of multi-sport teams going. Because, you know, Brandon's huge into the motocross, you know. And then, you know, obviously NASCAR. Yeah, I probably would fit in well there. Mike, actually, I could totally see doing the NHRA. I could see him.
Yeah, he could run the NHRA draft.
You know what I mean?
We could even get your stepson there and, you know, committed to ride, and I'd put him on the track. I got a bike sitting there.
Oh,
I built it to race, and nobody ever raced it because I broke my shoulder before I raced it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. He kind of got out of the whole, racing. Bike racing.
All he would have had to do was borrow a suit from Scott. He'd have been good.
I know.
My God, he was really into it.
Yeah, now he's in it. You know, he's really into street bikes. And he's got his, you know, his four-wheeler, you know, his little Toyota four-wheeler that he likes to go mudding in.
Oh, okay. So he's doing that sort of thing. What, the ATVs?
No, the pickup. He's going mudding with his pickup.
Oh, pickup trucks. Oh.
Yeah, he's almost like monster jamming it.
I thought he was out doing one of those little, you know, ATV sort of things through the woods sort of stuff.
Oh, no, no.
No. But boy, he was really into the dirt bike racing. I'm surprised. But I could do the NHRA. I don't know if I'd want to do Top Fuel or and Funny Car. I don't know if I'd want to be doing that Nitro stuff. Pro Stock. I would love to do Pro Stock. You're right. I would love that because straight on for speed. Oh baby, I love that. But I don't know that Nitro stuff. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could breathe that. that would kill me. I have trouble with about the track smelling that stuff and breathing that in. So, but anyhow, listen. I was just looking back at the. Let's see. What was it? May 7th. May 7th race there at Talladega, and from what
May
I can
1st.
See, what was it? May 1st.
May 1st, yep.
Okay, sorry about that. I can see here is that there were 10 cautions for 41 laps, and it appeared there were two fairly significant wrecks. We ready? There was one in lap 162 that grabbed up the 78, the 3, the 47, the 1, the 95, the 7, the 42, the 48, the 27, the 31, 44, 35, 10, 41, 18, 38, 43, 21, 16, 11, and 17. Whoa. I guess you would call that the big one. Wow. There was another one then, 20
wow,
laps
did you
later.
Say the 18?
Was the 18 in there? No, yes, the 18 was in there.
Wow, because he finished second. He really recovered.
there was a second one 20 laps later that involved the 20, the 10, the 43, the 22, the 95, the 15, 16, 27, 21, 4, 38, and 32.
And your Powerball is 5.
I was going to say, hut, hut, hike. It sounds like you're calling a signal on a football field, you know?
Oh, man.
Hey, the coffee's kicked in.
Anyhow, I just wanted to bring that up since I was able to access through our buddy Jayski, jayski.com.
Okay, how many of them were in both? Do that math.
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding. Don't. It's too hard.
Yeah.
You're going to see. You will see some on both.
It would take too long. But since I do have the official race report up, Dale Jr. was a DNF at that race. It looks like Carl Edwards was a DNF. Who else? Let's see. Some of these say running, but they have fewer laps because they were probably back in the garage and didn't get back out. But the two big names that did not finish were, it looks like, Junior and Carl Edwards, it looks like, did not finish. Many of the others, as I said, had fewer laps, but it indicates on the official report that they were running, but with fewer laps. So you would think they just couldn't get back out on the track or got back out on the track late. Anyhow, Brad Keselowski won it, as you're pointing out. Kyle Busch came in second. Austin Dillon third, as you point out. Jamie McMurray fourth, and Chase Elliott fifth. Here I am bringing up Chase Elliott and saying, well, okay, does experience, you know, does Talladega, does that level the playing field? And does experience come into play? And yet Chase Elliott came in, what did I just say, fifth? So I guess it's not possible that we could see Chase Elliott actually get a win here today. So.
Definitely possible. That car has been running well. I'm a big fan of momentum. That's why I like the Austin Dillon car today, because, you know, that whole Childress team's kind of been on a upswing of late. And I just see what, you know, I like what they're doing. And I think if they're going to do anything, you know, I think it's going to be at this track if they're going to get a win this year.
To just run through last week's, I'm on last week's. Okay. Just to run through last week's top 10, Harvick came in first. Carl Edwards was number two. Joey Logano, three. Jimmy Johnson, four. Kyle Busch, five. Austin Dillon, six. How about Alex Bowman up at seventh? AJ Allmendinger was eight. Matt Kenseth, nine. Casey Kane was 10. Matt Kenseth led the most laps at 116. So for the longest time, I was doing quite well fantasy-wise and then dropped off the face of the earth. and am now below the cut line. Thank you. So, Kenseth actually did come back to finish ninth, but led 116 of the laps. The final lap for Kevin Harvick, as brought to us by NBC Sports right here.
But with one lap to go, sponsored by Credit One Bank, Kevin Harvick out in front, less than a mile and a half away from securing a spot in the round of eight. The gap between Harvick and Edwards, 1.5 seconds. As Edwards working the low line, trying to go by Brian Scott. Coming out of turn number four. What a run and a race for Kevin Harvick. He will advance to the round of eight. He wins at Kansas. Two chase wins to start off the 2016 chase. And the second time that he will visit Victory Lane at Kansas.
All right, so that's how it sounded last week as we finished up that race last Sunday. One of the things I wanted to bring up here today, guys, which I did not realize, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. You might have heard me bring it up there in the intro. I did not realize until I came across a piece that was published on Friday over on the Charlotte Observer. I did not realize this. Of course, I guess I really haven't sat down and taken a good hard look at what next year's schedule looks like. But Talladega, which is where we are today, Talladega will not be the sixth race of the chase. It will not be a cut race next year. It will be moved to the fifth race of the chase, and essentially Kansas and Talladega are being swapped out. Kansas will be the sixth race and a cut race. I got to be honest with you. I think that's a little cheap. I don't know what anybody else thinks. Any thoughts on that, Psychic? What do you think? What do you think about the? What do you think about the? Joey Logano likes it. I think it's a good idea, said Logano. Wimp. Who's tied for eighth in the standings and on the bubble to advance. I kind of like knowing what you have to do after Talladega. As much as you can control your own destiny at Talladega, which you can't as much as you could at Kansas. Yeah, see, so in other words, I mean, he's outright stating. I mean, you know, you have a little less control, but I don't know. Is it the right thing to do or not?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't actually know. I mean, because,
you know, that comment from him does not make me think he's any less of a pussy than I thought before by wimping out of a cutoff at a restrictor plate. I mean, come on now. Man up, son. You got to – this is the track you got. I like that it's at Talladega. I don't like it being at a, you know, cookie-cutter mile and a half
exactly.
of the cutoff. Let's grow a pair and go race at Talladega for the – right to advance. See, that just
and
shows
see,
you.
I don't,
that shows you what Joey is right there.
I Brandon, I'm going to tell you something. When I came across this, I guess last night as I'm putting this program together, I didn't realize that was going to be the case, that it was going to be, that it wasn't going to be Talladega. I'm reading Joey's comments. I'm going, oh, are you kidding me? And he's the only one in the entire, the only driver who's quoted in the entire article.
Wow.
That's funny. Well, I mean, but okay, let's be, you know, I'm sorry. We cut Joey some slack. Joey runs good at Kansas. So, of course, he wants Kansas to be the last race.
Well,
But trying to look at it objectively, I don't see where it really changes too much in this section of the races, because Talladega is still in there. Okay, it's not the last race; it's the second race. So you still have the crapshoot second race.
Mm.
The only thing is, at least you go into Kansas going, well, you know. If I haven't made it, I probably stand a little better chance to do well here because I don't have to necessarily worry about the big one at the last race. But it's still in that group of races. You still have the Great American Crapshoot. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you even put it as the first race. Point is, it's still in this segment of races. You still have to go through that.
Well, okay, all right, but I think, though, Psychic, now look, let's get this one straight. Let's be honest about it. There is more pressure with Talladega being a cut race than if it isn't. And I'm just wondering, and Brandon, let me get your thoughts on this one because it just occurred to me. Could it be that, in fact, that's exactly what perhaps maybe – you know, the folks at NASCAR who were putting the schedule together are thinking, saying, well, you know what? This might actually be making Talladega, this might make what's happening at Talladega worse. You know, there's more, in other words, there's more of a likelihood that you're going to get a big one because you're going to have drivers driving on edge more. They're going to be pushing it. They're going to be a little more aggressive. And maybe that's what they don't want you know, not just for safety purposes, but also just for the product.
I think it takes away from the – I think the chance of your chase getting ended because you get caught up in a big one at Talladega makes it more suspenseful to me. I think you're actually taking away from your product by dumbing it down and giving it to Kansas. You know, that's just my opinion. You know, as far as the competition goes, you know what? I don't know that it's going to make it any more or any less. They're all nuts at Talladega, and we all know this. You know, it's just I don't know that if you dial down the cut race factor, that's really only going to affect what 6-8 guys on the track at any given time, not the whole field. So I just don't see it making that big of a difference for safety wise, you know, or any of that. You know, I don't know. To me, I think it's kind of a wimpy move because I kind of liked it being, you know, a crapshoot to figure out if you're going to be able to, you know, advance kind of deal. But I kind of agree with you.
Despite the fact I'm not sure exactly what the mentality was, but it wouldn't surprise me if the mentality.
I'm not a big fan of Kansas anyway, because Kansas is no different than any of the other mile and a half. See, that's what I don't like. They should make the cut races unique, because I like the one at Dover. There's not another track like Dover. That's a good race to have a cut race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not another mile concrete bowl that like that. I mean, yeah, it's different. It may not be the most entertaining race, but at least, you know, it's kind of unique. It's not like another Texas, another Atlanta. It's like, come on. Let's put a cut race at a road course. How about that?
Well, I was just going to say that, which takes us back to our argument about putting a road course into, you know, putting Sonoma probably into the chase. You know, because, you know, one of the things I was going to bring up about the swap in Kansas. Well, see, Watkins Glen, I don't know this time. Like, it's cold here. And see, I was going to bring that up about moving Talladega and Kansas. I realize you're only swapping weeks, but as you get later into October, you're starting to roll the dice if you're having races more northern than southern. If I don't think that you're moving it, but you're adding additional, you know, potential weather issues into it.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Versus
if you just
leave it the way it was, you know, because I don't know what the weather is today in Kansas. I could pull it up and see what it is, but you know, like here it's in the 40s and 50s.
I don't think there's any place at this time of year that can get by completely unscathed. We've seen that. There have been a hell of a lot of weather delays this year in the chase. It's only been, seems like, in the past 2 weeks that we've gotten into a kind of a nice stretch where we're not getting some sort of a delay or another. I mean, we've had delays from everything from maybe the race wasn't delayed, but maybe there was no qualify. You know, this is the kind of thing we've been dealing with. It feels like almost consistently since the chase began. So I don't know if there's any place that you can necessarily be guaranteed of getting by unscathed. That's just my personal opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. But, you know, typically, weather pattern-wise, I would think you would want to kind of stick to the more southern, just like we do in the beginning. You know, when we start out in February. You know, we start out south, we go out west, and then we start hitting some of the more northern tracks and stuff like that.
Right. I think, though, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that we had solved this problem a couple of weeks ago. Didn't we say the thing to do would have been to swap out Watkins Glen, which comes up in early August, swap out Watkins Glen with Kansas. Now you put Watkins Glen in the chase in mid-October when it would be beautiful and glorious up there in upstate New York. You put plus you get a road race in the chase, and you're not losing anything. Kansas is still in there. It's just not a chase race. And Watkins Glen is still in there, but now you get your road course in the chase. I think we kind of solved this the other week.
Oh, we always solve NASCAR problems.
Well, then,
and sometimes they listen to us.
Well, to continue it, you got to put Road America in the regular season. So you have
I
two in the regular.
I agree with you.
And one in the chase. That's how you do it. Two in a regular season, one in the chase.
Yeah,
I
don't
think
you could put Road America.
I think we had
yeah, I think
they
run Xfinity there, Dave.
Well, no, I was going to say.
And it's a good race, too.
I don't think you could put it in the chase.
No.
It's too far north.
Yeah, it's in Wisconsin. Yeah, it's an hour away from Green Bay, which is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. That's the only drawback of the track. There's nothing
I think we had solved that one, too, though, Brandon, because I think what we said was cut Kansas back to being one race only. And so if you make Road America the first race that they have at Kansas, it would put Road America in there in early May.
There's a lot you could cut. Dover don't need to have two races in my book anymore. Dover's just, you know, Pocono's one of the few that I like having two because it's big and it's kind of like a sort of like a quasi road course tri-oval kind of thing. It's so different to drive, but there's a lot of tracks you don't need two races at anymore.
I just don't like the fact that Pocono is the two races are too close together. That's my personal opinion.
They always deal with weather up there too. So
yeah
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you put a Pocono race in.
that's true, but
because you're in the mountains.
Yeah, you're liable to get rain anyway. So
I think that later one is when you run into more tumultuous weather, though. If it seems to me, I don't know, when you start getting into those hot and humid days,
those thunderstorms,
and the end of July and early August, I think that's really, you know,
yeah, they're
up there,
up there for some reason.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's that to me, move that into the early fall, move that into early September or something. If you're gonna, I like Pocono a lot. I like watching Pocono. I liked when we were there. I like Pocono.
Yeah, we got to get back there.
I really enjoy Pocono. I think Pocono is a nice place to go to. So I don't have a problem with two there at Pocono as well, Brandon. I agree with you. But so, well, anyhow, we had solved that problem. But I don't know. I just, Talladega, I don't know. All right, so Sidekick, you're okay with it not being a cut race next year. All right.
I'm kind of on the fence. I don't, you know, you can move it. You know, I'm not going to be hurt, you know, if you move it, but if you don't move it, I'm not really going to be upset either. Kind of, you know what I mean? So
I got you. All right. We're going to hear today, you know, watching the race, we're going to get Dale Jr. in the booth for this race and next week as well at Martinsville.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought, hey, that's good. I'm looking forward to it. I think Dale does a good job.
I was going to say, didn't he do a couple Xfinity races
he's done.
Already?
He's done some Fox broadcasts, I think, hasn't he?
Yeah, the Fox guys, you know, on the Xfinity, they'll pull a Cup guy in, you know, a different one, like for almost all the Xfinity races, I think. That's how Jeff Gordon got a taste. We had Carl Edwards did a really good job.
Danica did a couple. Not that
Danica
I
did. Yeah, I didn't think she was all that great, honestly. I'll be honest with you, Jeff Gordon in the beginning, I didn't like him a little bit, but he's clearly gotten way better in a hurry because I do like his.
Well, he probably was, you know, doing a couple shots before this.
Yeah, right. He went to the cycling school. By the way, our show friend Liz definitely agrees that there should be a road course race in the chase. So I just thought I'd bring that along.
There you go.
Tidbit of news. Everybody agrees. See, we got all the answers. And I guess that wouldn't hurt her AJ Allmendinger either.
Oh no.
Dinger. Get a third one and put one of them in the chase. Look out.
You got that one right. Absolutely right.
Anyway, sorry.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing that because I don't know. I still can't get the chat room operating from my locale here. So
yeah, it wasn't working for me the other night. Well, let me ask you, since we got Brandon, you know, so talking about Dale Jr., I've seen him a lot more now with glasses. Are you digging the new Jr. with glasses look?
I don't know. I wonder if it has anything to do with his concussion.
That's what
that's what I was thinking. It may have something to do with that. But you know,
maybe when you look through glasses, if you look through glasses as opposed to contacts, maybe that helps. I don't know. I don't know what the rationale is there. I didn't even know he wore them, to be honest with you, till recently seeing him.
Well, here did I. It's just been just recent. Almost, it's almost been like since his concussion, we've seen him with glasses more often. And that, and I don't know, like you said, you know, it may be part of that. You know,
well, maybe when he's just in the race car, he prefers contact, so you don't have to deal with the glasses. And
well, I'm sure
he's not
yeah.
driving, so now if you're going to see him, he's just going to wear his glasses. I'd be kind of similar because I'll be honest with you, I can wear contacts, but they're a pain. I'd rather have glasses, to be honest with you, than wearing contacts most of the time. That's just a personal thing. So yeah, you know, maybe he's there, and he is. You know, he is in his 40s, so maybe he needs to. You know, the special lenses to read.
Well, that's what, yeah, see, I went and got my progressives.
Yeah, I got them.
And I can't see, I'm too sensitive with my eyes. I don't think I can get away with trying to put a contact in my eye.
Oh, I can put them in. I don't like having to, I can't read nothing if I have them in. That's my only problem. I can't see. It's one of those deals now. I've just gotten to the point where, and maybe he's like that too. I know they make contact with the progressive, believe it or not, reading glasses in it.
I can't even imagine.
Well, if you have any kind of astigmatism, they don't work supposedly. So I haven't tried it. Hopefully next year when I go get my eyes examined, I'm going to see if I can get my doctor to give me a pair and let me try it anyway. So, but I don't know.
What I've heard is it's easier to go into progressives if you've never had glasses. But if you're going from like a bifocal to a progressive, mm-hmm. it's difficult to get your eyes retrained to look in.
Are you talking glasses or contacts?
Glasses.
Oh, no,
I've never had an issue with it. I had to go from just regular lenses to the progressives, and it took a day or two to get adjusted, but. No issue. No issue after a couple of days.
Yeah, you just got to figure out the ranges.
Exactly.
And
believe it or not, your eyes adjust so quickly, it's not even funny.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the amazing thing about eyes. I remember doctors telling me that even years ago. Years ago, when I was a little kid and I first had to get glasses. I remember the doctor saying to me that, you know, it's an amazing thing about eyesight and your eyes. Your eyes adjust to your conditions and your environment faster than anything else in the human body.
Well, maybe that's why the doctors have him wearing them then. Maybe that's
yep.
maybe that's something to help with the because he was having the
focal
horizon.
Yep.
Yeah, the focal point. That's what he was having the issue with. Maybe the glasses is helping that issue. So yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe we just figured it out.
Real quick, one of the things I was just thinking of is we're talking about Dale being in the broadcast booth. And you know, Brandon, you're bringing up Jeff Gordon. And I think all of us have indicated at some point or another during this season, you know, how refreshing Jeff Gordon has been in the Fox booth, you know, compared to the hackneyed, you know, DW trite nonsense. Jeff has been a breath of fresh air. And it, you know, I'm thinking around the, you know, the top guys, you know, who else would be good, you know, in the booth doing the kind of thing that Gordon does. All right. I could see Dale Jr. I could definitely see Carl Edwards. Somebody I could see.
Yeah, Carl was good.
Somebody I could see, though, in there, not in there, but somebody I could see doing an absolutely horrible job if they were given it. Jimmy Johnson. I think Johnson would be terrible. I think Johnson would just be absolutely boring as hell.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they ever tried him. I know they did Harvick. Harvick was pretty good.
kind of comes off as very dry. You know?
Yeah. I don't think like, he would be either.
Yeah. You know, almost like that very stiff kind of, you know, Tom Brokaw, you know, in today's race. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Where you, that's not how we like our broadcasters. You know, I think DW takes it too far to the other extreme, just like his brother. I could do without the pit road walk.
Oh, Fox was smart. They'd put Larry McReynolds back in the booth with Gordon and send Darryl off to retirement.
Yeah.
If they were smart. Now, whether
Darryl,
they do that or not.
You know, I just think that I really think that the poor problem with Darryl is Darryl had his day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. Darryl had his day. It's not that Darryl's horrible. It's not that Darryl's bad. It's that Darryl has become a caricature of himself. Darryl now leans on the trite nonsense that he created probably 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 15 years ago.
It was cool the first 5 years.
Exactly.
Now you've worn that out, dude. You need to evolve.
Exactly.
And I almost feel like his experience is gone. Like the sport has evolved.
Yep, I agree with you.
And he hasn't been driving a car forever. I know he understands basics. It's like Pete Rose, you know, like you were talking about Pete Rose, you know, and how he was showing, you know, Alex Rodriguez and
Frank Thomas. Yep.
You know how to hit, and you know when you're in a slump, you know you're not in a slump, you're at a wall. And, you know, and how you move around the batter's box and you choke up, choke down, different things. You know, yeah, Darryl could bring that kind of analysis to the sport, you know, where it's basically just racing skill type stuff. But when you're talking about how the cars run now, the technology in the cars, things like that, he's got no experience.
There were times I thought that Jeff actually made Darryl look bad. There were times I actually thought he shamed him simply because of exactly what you're pointing out, Psychic, that it was evident that Darryl was a bit behind the times. You know, here's Jeff. He's just coming out of those cars just a year ago, you know, mm-hmm. And for God's sake, how many races did he run just this year? So, you know, his experience is timely. It's 21st century, and Darryl doesn't have any of that. And so that's why I'm saying, you know, I don't want to diss Darryl too badly. I just think that Darryl had his day, and it's time for Darryl, as Brandon says, to move on.
Yeah.
Find
I'm
another
not saying
role
he can't
for
be part. He can be part of the broadcast. He just not in the booth.
Exactly.
Let him and Michael do their little. You know, that they want to do, you know, put them doing the segments together, let them do their idiot stuff for the people who like that. Because clearly they must, you know, Fox wouldn't keep these guys around if they weren't getting, you know, somebody liking it. So, you know, all right, fine. Just keep it out of the real race. You know what I mean? Do it pre-race, do it post-race, do it during qualifying, whatever, you know. But, you know, when the race is on, I want to listen to Jeff Gordon and Larry McReynolds and hear real information. That's
right.
What I'd like. You know,
no, I will say, you know, and you know, this is, you know, probably the, you know, the closet DW fan in me. But when we leave Fox and go to other broadcasts, I miss.
Yes, I do too.
The boogity boogity boogie starting the race. I don't know what it is. As stupid as that sounds, it's.
No, he can do that. He can.
It's
do
like
that,
folklore
and then he can go,
kind of thing. Now
that's it.
Like, you know. I miss that. You
he
know?
Can do that. That's it.
Yeah, he can do that. He can do that, and then him and Michael can
kick
you know
the, yeah.
do their
they could kick the
know,
race
whatever.
Off, and then you know.
See ya. Now let the real the
like
real
the
guys.
like the Michael Buffer
yeah.
of you know of NASCAR.
You know what
like
the problem? I can tell you exactly what the problem is with why they wouldn't do that, because the average race fan doesn't care about the technical side of it. And you're going to get too much technical between Gordon and Nick Reynolds. You know, they're going to tell you why the car is doing what it's doing, not just that it's doing it.
That's
That's the difference. Darrell gives you the
I think Brandon's got
relief.
A point there, because I do kind of prefer Fox broadcast to NBC. I think NBC comes in almost too professional.
Jeff Burton and Dale Jr.'s old crew chief do a really good job together.
I don't say they don't do a good job.
Kyle Petty can get on my nerves a little bit, but even he's kind of growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, he's more the pre and post.
I think Kyle still brings more than DW does.
I would agree there. But I like NBC. It's interesting. The average fan. See, I would have thought the average fan in NASCAR would be an under the hood kind of guy.
The average fan who's sitting at home. I doubt it. I think the average fan could care less why the car does what it does.
Really?
To be honest with you, they just want to watch the race. I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving them enough credit.
See, when Nick Reynolds does the, breaks it down and starts getting under the hood and stuff, I sit there on the edge of my seat because I'm learning something. And I'll sit there and go, wow, that is really fascinating. That's something I didn't know. So I enjoy that. I eat that up. I like that kind of stuff.
Who's the other guy that used to do the breakaway car and stuff?
Well, it used to be Andy Petrie on ESPN before it was, NBC
Petrie.
Took
who's
over.
Who's the Hollywood guy?
Jeff Hammond.
Yeah.
When they used to have that breakaway car. Yeah.
I did it before McReynolds.
I don't even know if Hammond's on the broadcast anymore.
Hammond is doing Fox stuff, but he's doing it mostly on social media. He's kind of their social media spokesman. During the Fox regular season, I was getting them a lot then. I don't see as many right now. But during the Fox NASCAR season, at least once or twice a week, there would be a NASCAR on Fox video of something or other from Jeff Hammond on Facebook or on Twitter. So it seems like
he did one of those NASCAR video things, but it was actually against the video was actually against NASCAR. Remember that?
He did,
like
but
a
I
year
don't remember.
Or two ago, I think.
I don't remember there being repercussions. Were there repercussions for it?
Well, when I say he got in trouble, I think somebody had talked to him.
He expressed one of the conspiracy theory sorts of things.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I remember that. Yes. In fact, I actually saw that video. In fact, I think I may have even posted it back at the time over on Frat House Sports.
That's how I found out about it, because I think you had mentioned it.
There was something in the content of it that really did make you sit up and your eyebrows raised, and you're and sitting there going, "Whoa, this is coming from Fox, huh?" I'm sitting there going, "Well, the fact it's on social media might be the reason, they'll sneak it out that way because God knows they're not going to say this on the air, because it really was. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was a situation. Correct me if I'm wrong. Now, it's coming back to me. He was bringing up where appeared more than likely that NASCAR fixed some races. I think that's what it was.
With the cautions, yeah. With the late caution flags. I think that's where he was tying it. Like they were trying to control outcomes.
Yep. Yeah, I think
they were trying to make the product more exciting by throwing a late race caution to group everybody back
on.
And he had specific races he cited where, you know, those things happened, and then he brought up the outcome. And, you know, he kept bringing up the yin and the yang of it. Well, you know, this wouldn't have happened if this didn't happen. And then he went through it, and he had like 3-4 different examples. And I think that's what the case was. So, but as far as I know, he didn't lose his job or anything.
He caused a little bit of a stir, and I think NASCAR talked to him and said, hey.
And maybe that's why he got downsized.
Well, maybe.
To social media.
Yeah, I guess that's always possible. I suppose that's always possible. All right, so let's see. What do we got? We got a couple of minutes here, and we want to get into – we got to get our fantasy picks, and we want to review all that sort of stuff and eat my dust and that. Talladega here today, guys. Martin Truex starting on the pole. I don't know if anybody heard it. They're saying it's really not an issue. Martin Truex Jr. wins Talladega pole after part confiscation. Let's see. According to USA Today, a stupid mistake by Furniture Row Racing caused a stir Saturday at Talladega Super Speedway, but it appears to be a case of much ado about nothing. NASCAR confiscated a front jack bolt from Martin Truex's car, which created talk in the garage about a points penalty that could damage Truex's chances of advancing to round 3 of the chase. But NASCAR Senior Vice President of Competition, Scott Miller, later indicated it was unlikely to result. Where's my sound drop? I need my sound drop here. Hold on. I got it right here. I got it right there. So there you go. Truex starting on the pole amidst controversy. But even the media saying much ado about nothing.
What was the part? Did they ever tell you?
They said a jack bolt. I don't know I'm not sure what a jack bolt is. Does anybody know?
It's what they attach the wrench to when they go through the rear window to adjust
the track bar.
The car during track bar and the springs. They can jack weight on the springs too. 9 times out of 10, if they're putting the wrench in, that's a spring adjustment, not a track bar. Track bar is generally done by the driver anymore unless it's a major thing. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if they can do a track bar adjustment now that it's hooked up to that.
The automated.
Because you price them if you tried to turn a jack, turn a bolt, you know, a jack bolt. So when you say a jack wrench, that's right. And you can't imagine. What would be it's made out of the wrong material or something? Why the hell would it even matter, you know?
Yep. Yep. Might want to check your connection there because, boy, breaking up, cutting in and out. No, that's all right. Cutting in and out there quite a bit. It was difficult to keep track of you. But,
see, what I'm reading is it was improperly mounted with too deep of a well. It's the front jack screw.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, they were saying, you know, as of this, you know, as of yesterday, they hadn't heard whether there was going to be anything, but in all likelihood, any possible penalty would be points only and in the 10 to 15 point range.
Well,
I think you said, somebody from NASCAR actually came out and said that they weren't – they looked at it, but they weren't going to do anything.
Scott Miller says it's unlikely that there will result in any kind of points deduction. I'm just reading through this here. If I've got this correct, Cole Pearn, who's Truex's what do you call it?
Lackey.
Pearns? Yeah, lackey.
Crew chief.
Crew chief, thank you. I just had a brain fart there. Pern said the team was changing a spring on Friday and grabbed a 5.5-inch screw instead of an 8-inch screw. That ended up lowering the center of gravity on the left front of the car, which likely wouldn't help the team. The story was originally reported by Motorsport.com, and Pern was upset with the report for saying that the jack bolts were hollow, which he said was false and would result in a significant points penalty. So, that's apparently the situation. I don't know. With as crazy as some of the penalties have been, and as picayune as they've gotten, you would think that they would hit the 78 with a points penalty. That's just my personal opinion.
I don't think there should be points penalties, anything found pre-race. If it's found and it never made it to the track because NASCAR found it, okay, you can penalize them, but don't take points away. You know what I mean? Because you don't know. You know what I mean? They gain no competitive advantage out of it. Because it's been before it ever went on the track, NASCAR made them fix it. I guarantee you that. So, I don't want to see points. I hate when they penalize them points for something that happened before the fact. You know, because you don't know, it's very easy that what he said could be true. They just could have grabbed the wrong bolt, the wrong size, the wrong depth, whatever. That could be a simple mistake. And yeah, maybe you do fine them, some money or put the crew chief on probation. But, I don't think you deduct points because you didn't get any benefit. And it from the sounds of that, it doesn't sound like it would have gave him benefit anyway.
Yeah, well, that's right. Okay.
It might actually made the car worse.
I got you.
I hope they don't do any points. Not for that.
All right. Well, here's how today's thing's going to open. Everything's going to open today at Talladega. As I point out, Martin Truex on the pole. Brad Keselowski's already been brought up as coming out of the second spot. Matt Kenseth is third. Chase Elliott, 4. Greg Biffle, 5. Ryan Stenhouse Jr., 6. Kurt Busch is 7. Denny Hamlin, 8. Austin Dillon, 9. Paul Menard is 10. Carl Edwards coming out of 13. Kyle Busch, 14. Joey Logano, 16. Jimmy Johnson, 17. Kevin Harvick, 22. Completely irrelevant, right, guys? It doesn't make any difference because, hey, it's Talladega, and who cares? What happens at Talladega? Yeah, what happens at Talladega stays at Talladega.
well, that's actually true. With this being an elimination race, you bet.
Well, at least this year, anyhow. Completely irrelevant, which will make when we do our Eat My Dust here, all the much more interesting. Any thoughts here, guys, on this particular race today? I mean, I think it's going to be a good one. I'm in agreement with Brandon. I think the fact it's a cut race makes it more intriguing and more. More suspenseful.
Well, I would keep an eye on the Childress today. Austin Dillon, even Paul Menard, Ryan Newman. I think they're going to have a good day. And I like the fact I didn't even realize that Austin Dillon and Menard were starting side by side. So they'll be able to draft from the beginning. That's a good thing too. So they already got the teammate thing working out. So, yeah, I think that's something to watch. I think they're going to be good. I think the Chevys in general are going to be better. If you notice, most of the Toyotas, with the exception of Truex, are back a little further. So
yep.
I don't think you're going to see a Toyota show today. I think you're going to see a mix. I think you could see some of the Fords are in good, like Keselowski and Logano. Maybe even Ryan Blaney gets up in there at some point. I think you'll see Chase Elliott look decent. Is Bowman driving for Junior in the 88?
I don't know who's in that. Yes, he'll be coming out of the 19th spot. 88,
okay.
Alex Bowman coming out of the 19th spot.
That'll be interesting. I'll be interested to watch that because that team always runs well. So, see where that car ends up.
And ran well last week, as we saw.
Yeah.
So,
Sidekick, you think your forwards are going to come up today?
Yeah,
I do. I do.
I think Brad will. I'm not quite sure about Joey. But yeah, I think the forwards are going to be up there. And I think you're probably going to, like you said, I think you'll see a mix. With everybody kind of up front there at some point as everybody's drafting and doing all that stuff. So it should be a good race.
All right. Things are a little screwy here with the time. So I'm not quite sure exactly how much time I've got here or not, because what my time here in the studio is reading is completely different from what my clock is actually, my real clock is actually saying. So let's do
this.
I'm
showing 3.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm showing far less than that in the studio, but a lot more than that on the regular clock. So, all right, let's do this. Let's get to Sidekick. Let's get to your fantasy picks. Cut race here for many of us. For many of us in our chase. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go with Truex Jr., Keselowski, Castle, Elliott, and Amarola with Brad and Ford as winner and manufacturer. And what the heck, I'll go with Brad for my eat my dust. Why not?
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm just writing it down. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure I don't make some changes. I guess I'll kind of fly with what I got. In our Eat My Dust, as I pointed out now for many, many weeks, this has come down between, this is a race for number one, and then who will come in third. That's the way it's going. NASCAR John up at the top, 976. Sidekick at 940. Brandon, 838. I'm coming in at 823. Loyal listener Liz, 805. NASCAR John today is picking Brad Keselowski.
No change then.
Yep. Sidekick, you got Brad Keselowski. Brandon, where are you heading?
I'm taking off. I want to see a new winner.
I had a feeling.
I want to see a new winner.
All right, so Brandon's going out on a limb. He's going to pick Dylan. Loyal listener Liz has got Matt Kenseth. And I picked Kenseth last week and didn't do too well. I'm going to go with Kenseth again today. Although I'm going to be honest with you, I'm on record right now. I think Brad Keselowski's going to win it. That's my personal opinion.
Chase Elliott's one to watch, too. Just saying.
That's
He's
why
my 1A.
Yeah.
I like
that's
it.
Why
I'm going with Dylan, but if he don't, it's going to be Elliott. That's my that's
okay.
What I think.
All
I, think
right,
you're,
there we
I
go.
Don't think you're going to – I think Toyota's the last manufacturer you see in victory lane today.
We're
I think it'll
hedging,
either be a Chevy or a Ford.
We're all hedging our bets. I'm saying Kenseth, but I really I'm really thinking Keselowski. So we're all hedging our bets here today. All right. Let me wrap this.
Kids got to get a win before the end of the season.
Let me wrap this one up here. Reminder, everybody, please be here at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. Brandon and I will be bringing you everything that has happened in the NFL. A lot going on. In fact, we got games going on right now, as a matter of fact, out in London. I have no idea what's going on with it. Anybody got a score real quick? No.
Nah.
Okay. Who cares? Anyhow. It's
I forgot it
Rams.
Was on.
It's only the Rams.
I don't care.
I think it's the Rams.
I forgot it was on.
They're playing the Giants.
Yeah, Rams.
Anyhow, 7 p.m. Tuesday night, Brandon and I for our Red Zone Blitz, and then Thursday night, we're all here together for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. All right, there you go. That's it for this week. Many thanks for listening in. Hey, get out there and boogity, boogity, boogity. Enjoy your racing, folks.